Blog Talk Radio.
Love is like a bone, baby, come on, get it on. Living like a lover with a red iPhone. Looking like a tramp, like a video vamp. Demolition woman, can I be your man?
You're listening to Bad Company with Gray Eye Smith, Daniel Deschino, and Weaver of Dreams. I'm going to go to the phone lines here and bring on my co-host, Mr. Daniel.
Hey, Gray, what is happening, my man? Hey, man, what's happening?
Not a lot. Looking forward to tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. Doing good. I want to give a quick shout-out on the opening song. That was... Of course, the Def Leppard song "Pour Some Sugar on Me," but it was done by Postmodern Jukebox with featuring lead singer Kendall Wilde. And I want to give her a shout-out because I actually reached out to her to ask her about the song and chatted a little bit on social media with her. And she was excited that we were going to play it today and said she might actually listen in. So I just want to give her a shout-out as a friend to the show. Of those of you who don't know Kindle or Postmodern Jukebox, you should definitely look them up. Amazing music. Her name is spelled K-Y-N-D-L-E and W-Y-L-D-E, Kindle Wild. She's all over social media. I downloaded a couple of her songs on iTunes. They're really great. And right now, Postmodern Jukebox is in a worldwide tour. I know they're in the United States now, and they're going overseas later. And Kindle will be touring with them starting in February, so definitely try to check them out. I tried to get tickets around the Boston area here. It's like 4 shows, and every one of them is sold out. I can't get tickets. So they are definitely a hot show. And, man, what a voice Kindle has. This is somebody that's going to go far, so definitely watch her career go. And I can't wait to at least, if I can't get tickets, at least see the videos of her in concert. I'm sure it's going to be great. So, Kindle, if you're listening, thanks for letting us play the song, and good luck on the tour. I just wanted to give her a quick shout-out for being so kind to our show. Great tune. I can't stop listening to the song. It's like the happiest song I've ever heard. And it's taken off, too. It's only been out 2 weeks, and it's already got over 700,000 views, the video on YouTube. So thanks again, Kindle, and good luck on the tour.
That's incredible. Awesome. So do you want to tell us a little bit tonight, Joe?
Yeah, absolutely. Is Weaver with us, or is she just on the board?
Yeah, I'm going to welcome her now. Hello, Weaver, and welcome to the show.
Hello, my dear boys. How are you both?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm sorry there. I forced you both to talk together. Idiot. Sorry. didn't mean to do that. Okay, yes. I'm very glad to be here. Looking forward to the show. It looks like there's a lot of amazing poetry. So have at it, chaps.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Thanks, Weaver. Always great to have a good Scottish representation on the show today. We got some really great poetry to talk about tonight. I have 2 contests. We'll see how far we get on with the second one. The first one, and for those of you that are on allpoetry.com, if you go to my contests, you can see the contest that we have for it. It's really there's a picture, and it's always hard to describe a picture on an audio podcast, right? But for those of you that are on All Poetry, you can see the picture. You'll be able to see it. I live in a very old house, and the curtains that are in here are also old. So there's these old lace curtains that are upstairs in one of my rooms, and I just happened to go up there and look, and my wife has a plant behind the curtain so that it can get lots of sunlight, and it happens that a couple of the leaves are rotting, and it just so happens as well that a couple of the leaves, if you guys can see it, actually look like they have little faces on them, little screaming faces. There's just 2 eyes and like 2 round eyes and a round mouth, and it was very interesting to me picture, and I figured that people would actually get a lot of poetry out of that. So you have this white lace curtain with some shadows in the background. It looks like kind of 2 shadowy faces coming out of it. It was very very interesting and eerie, and we had a great response to this contest. So yeah, I think we should kind of get going, and let's get into some poetry.
Awesome, awesome. All right, what do we have first, Weaver?
Sorry, I was on mute. Give me one moment.
No,
I have
problem.
It here. When I say I have it here, that means it's not here, but it sounds good. Here we have. Keep you in suspense. Here we have Rogue by Zara H. And give this one a read, if you so desire. Well, I am going to. Okay. Zara H. Oh, lovely. Hi, Zara. Rogue. Unable to be hopeful for some reason. For some reason, I'm feeling down today. Searching the morning canvas for a left-out star that resists fading into the universe, defying facts. Stars own no stage to shine on, have no foothold in light. Why is their glory intertwined with the night? To be shrouded in darkness, to glitter, if lucky, the canvas will be clear for your glorious steps. What if a star decides to go rogue, challenging the structure? Is it still going to shine? Significantly, is it necessary to uncover how or where you may shine? Stars. What if light is your doom? End poem.
Beautiful read, Weaver. And Daniel, what are your thoughts?
I thought this was really great. Zara writes for a lot of my contests, and I think she's a friend of the show. Our representative over from Saudi Arabia. And I gave this the gold. I really thought she went in a very interesting direction. I'm always amazed at how the prompts can inspire, you know, so many different thoughts. I really liked, and the rogue feeling was very interesting. And I'm guessing that she got that out of the picture of the face coming out of the lace is almost like kind of a rogue spirit. A lot of people went in spirit directions, not necessarily spiritual, but thinking of spirits. What if a star decides to go rogue, challenging the structure? Is it still going to shine? And I can see that kind of coming out of there, of the lace. Significantly, is it necessary to uncover or how away you may shine? Me asking stars, what if light is your doom? So just such a kind of profound and deep where Zara went, I think, with this. I like poetry with a lot of questions. I think that just brings out the imagination of there. She says earlier, the imagination of the reader, excuse me. Stars own no stage to shine on, have no foothold in light. Why is their glory intertwined with the night? I thought that was an amazing line. Why is their glory intertwined, you know, with the night? They have no stage, no foothold in the light, meaning that, you know, during the day when we're out, you know, in the stars, you know, they're glorious when it's dark. So I thought that was, you know, to be shrouded in darkness to glitter. So, you know, this star that's supposed to be this brightness is surrounded in darkness. And it's simple as the idea that was, I can't believe I've never thought of that idea before, of a star being surrounded in darkness in the way that she's describing it. So I thought there was some, you know, really great just introspective thoughts here, and it was just beautifully written. So awesome job, Zara. Great job. What about you, Greg?
Excellent comment, Daniel. Thank you. And, yeah, you know, I found the piece very interesting. You know, it really brings into question where do the stars go in the light? You know, are they still there? Or are they, you know, do they go to some other realm? What happens to them, you know? And you can't see them till it's dark, which is fascinating, you know. And I never really thought about the subject much until I read this poem. And it really brings that point to back that, you know, it takes darkness for a star to shine, you know. And I think that's true in life itself, you know. Sometimes, you know, the brightest stars have had the darkest lives, which is fascinating, you know. It's sad but true, you know. It takes a lot of darkness for a star to shine. So yeah, beautiful. And what are your thoughts, Weaver?
I have to say I agree with you both. I mean, I hadn't actually thought about it, but it is a bit of a bum deal when you think about it. The sun is there 24 hours, different sides of the world, but it's there. But the stars can only be seen when it's dark, and for most of that time most of the people are asleep. Yes, it does seem a little bit of a letdown for the stars, because they're doing their best, they're twinkling away, but unfortunately not getting the glory that they should. So you have to think of something. I have no idea what. I'm sure somebody will come up with some wonderful idea. Beautifully written. I really enjoyed it. I thought the message behind it and the thought behind it was extraordinary. Very good. So thank you so much for sharing that with us.
Absolutely. Beautiful comment, Weaver. All right, where are we to next, Weaver?
Yes. Next we have, I'll be with it at. We have Spirit Guides by Rodrigo 22. And Daniel, would you give this a little read for us, please?
I absolutely will. And this got the bronze. For this contest, Spirit Guides. I struggled to catch a glimpse of the face of Lady Hope beckoning to me kindly, anxiously needing her gentle caress to softly smooth my tear-torn, wrinkled brow. It is not her weakness, but my fault. I am the master of my destiny. I command my vessel in murky seas, where dark behemoths secretly slumber. Carrying sacred light denied many, I forge on through the stormy, steely gusts, not alone but with the shadowy crew that held my broken limbs in past battles. Those ethereal vestiges of me, implanting secret knowledge in closed ears, direct me unknowing to life's true loves. They carry me to my true ancient home. They imbue forgotten peaking powers through deafened and conditioned defenses, arising from the mystical ether, shoring up my segmented sense of self. They flood dreams and thoughts with inspiration, renewing armored determination. Their once familiar reflections smile in honor of invigorated sight. Bolstered, I can now battle on bravely until I rejoin my sacred guides. End poem. And what the author said was, the image of the faces in the fabric by a hidden force brought to mind the impact of spirit guides and the past life faces worn and the rest of history. So interesting.
Wow. Great read, Daniel. Thank you for sharing the author's notes. I really found this fascinating. It reminds me of that, like I was saying, about shining in the darkness. You know, it takes darkness to shine. But, you know, in the third stanza, he says, carrying the sacred light denied many. I forge on through the stormy, steely gusts, not alone, but with the shadowy crew that held my broken limbs in past battles. That really is epic in its portrayal of fighting, you know, and shining through the darkness, which is, like I said, about the stars shining in the night. It takes darkness in order to shine. But, no, it was a beautiful write and a fantastic read, Daniel. Weaver, what did you think?
Yeah, that is a beautiful picture. That has so much. There's a person opening themselves to whatever guides they think are right for them in their religion or their beliefs, however that might be. But he's struggling, and I'm not really surprised. You have to have a very controlled mind to think about nothing, and you know, and that is the hardest thing, because the minute you think I'm going to think about nothing, that's the only thing that's in your mind. It's a difficult transition to make, but when you do, I think I haven't, but when you do, I think you have this calmness, this need to look outwards and try and find out what is your path, what your path should be. I thought it was very well written. And explained a lot. They flood dreams and thoughts with inspiration, renewing armored determination. Their once familiar reflections smile in honor of invigorated sight. Yeah, that was very well written, and I really enjoyed it. So thank you for sharing.
Absolutely.
Thanks, Weaver.
Beautiful comment, Weaver. And Daniel, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree with both of you, and again, went to a really interesting place based on the prompt. I really like the idea at the beginning. I struggled to catch a glimpse of the face of Lady Hope, you know, anxiously needing her I couldn't say that this when I read it, and I can't say it now. Anxiously needing her gentle caress to softly smooth my tear-worn, wrinkled brow. Not her weakness, but my fault, I thought was interesting. And it brings to mind almost, you know, there's the two things, which is the opposite of this. The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was, this is from a movie, right, was to say he wasn't there. You know, meaning like so people didn't have to worry about him. But then the opposite was, you know, if God doesn't, you know, if God or the spirits don't help you, right, then it's because they're leaving it up to you to actually do something. And that's kind of where I got with that. So it's not her weakness, but my fault. So I'm asking Lady Hope to help me, you know, caressing her, and she's not helping. It's my fault that it's not doing it. I'm the master of my destiny. I command my vessel in the murky seas, you know? So, you know, if you take that literally, which it's not meant to be, but you're out in the ocean and you're praying for, you know, help. up to you to do something about it, right? You're the destiny. So it's interesting that he went to spirit guides, but really talking about yourself as your own destiny, as your own, controlling your own life. So this is beautifully beautifully written. I really enjoyed it. Rodrigo did an excellent job. Okay, cool. And Robbie's on the board, by the way, of Robbie's Poetry. Thanks for joining, buddy. We really appreciate it. And where do you want to go now? I think we skipped one. I don't know if you did that on purpose. Are you mutating? Oh, there you are.
I was. I truly apologize. It's very embarrassing. Oh, I was getting so good too. Okay, here we are. We have 10-Headed Ghouls. It's an adult write by Doll in the Cupboard. So I'm going to read this one. Going to live dangerously. I love it. 10-Headed Ghouls. You never know what's coming. This is the beauty of it. Okay. This might sound absurd, but I was murdered inside these very curtains. I couldn't catch my soul in timesheets. Blasted dirty linen had footprints stamped all over. So I'm destined to reside within dusty, scenic linens till eternity reaches a full stop. I saw my soul flying through the ceiling, trying to escape, my shriveled flesh all over the place. Most unfortunately, there was no way out for my poor soul to hide her frightened face. Incidentally, what seems to have occurred is somewhat rather absurd, for my flesh has obviously melted into dust by now. Yet I overhear my sobbing soul reminiscing of the night I was slashed to pieces. What's even weirder is every night I have to oversee my monstrous killer going over the dark side again, slicing another female's throat to indulge his own evil. I secretly plan when I step out of these curtains and strangle him with my own hands. I've quadrupled my friend's face playing with soulmates inside this old lace. Indeed, I've encountered my dark side. Seems to be I had quite a lot of internal creatures all wrapped up into one dead being. Me. End poem.
Beautiful read, Weaver. And what are your thoughts, Daniel?
Yes, I really liked Doll in the Cupboard. She goes to some interesting places. It's very, very inventive. So this one got the silver. And I thought it was very dark, right, and haunting, but she really, created this character that I thought was really interesting. And the fact that she was killed or something like by a serial killer, it says, I was murdered inside these very curtains. I couldn't catch my soul in timesheets, blasted dirty linen, and had footprints stamped all over it. So she was, we don't know the gory details, but she was killed inside the curtains and almost her soul is trapped in the curtains. And she must have saw that in the picture. And then seeing this now creature, right, this person who was killed and is trapped there, planning her revenge, basically, and almost watching the person that, is still living there, killing other people. It's very dark, but it's so... I don't know another word except poetic, beautifully written and poetic and just haunting in the way that it's really about this character. You can kind of picture the evil of the other person, but it's this, haunted soul that's building up this hatred, in the curtains itself, waiting to be able to jump out again. Seems to be I had quite a lot of internal creatures all wrapped up into one dead being, me. I've quadrupled my faces in the soulmates inside this old lace. So she, again, if you look at the picture, there's kind of multiple silhouettes there, and she's picturing herself as all these kind of different creatures of evil that have now come out and are multiplying, all hating this killer. So it was very introspective, interesting, and she really, delved into this character. I love it when people come up with these story-type poems, but it always makes me want more. Like, I want to hear the more of this story and this character. So awesome job, Doll. I thought it was very well done. What about you, Gray?
Yeah, that was a fantastic comment, Daniel. But, you know, I really enjoyed the poem, the storyline within being killed by a serial killer and then, you know, splitting yourself into many facets of yourself as soulmates. And indeed, I've encountered my dark side. Seems to be I had quite a lot of internal creatures all wrapped up into one dead being, me. You know, I thought you captured the prompt quite stellarly, and it was a beautiful write. Fantastic read as well, Weaver. And Weaver, what did you think of the write?
Oh, thank you. I'm afraid I stumbled a little bit, and my apologies with that. But I thought it was wonderful. I really enjoyed reading it. There we have someone who's obviously had, you know, that kind of mundane life that doesn't really become anything that's worrisome. And then suddenly, you're killed. And you're stuck. And I can't think of anything worse than being stuck inside fusty, musty old linen curtains. How awful. Ugh, it must be terrible. You get dust up your nose. People are pulling you open and closed all the time. Oh, I can just imagine a poor girl. Open, close. Oh, very boring. But I thought that was very cleverly done. I like the fact that she's thinking, you know, I'm going to get out of here and I'm going to wreak my vengeance. No matter how long it takes or how often. And it seems that her need for revenge is bringing to her lots of other creatures that I no doubt will have ideas and help her in her quest. So, yes, I thought it was very cleverly done. Thank you so much for sharing that with us all.
Yeah, and, you know, now that I've heard I've watched way too many murderous movies with my wife, and now I need to hear the end now. So, Doll, if you're listening, you have to write the rest of the story so I can hear this. This person take their revenge now. I can't rest until the serial killer is captured. So, it's a great comment.
Fantastic, Daniel. Where are we to next, Peter?
Next we have Secret Closet by Rangarath and Gray. Would you give this a read for us, please?
Sure. Rangarath, Secret Closet. A flow of fluttering pure white gown in the oceanic breeze. Hand in hand, they move in slow motion. Her face camouflaged in a silky veil of mystery. In the backdrop of every mind hides an elegant fantasy of an unfinished, untouched, dreamy figure. Then one day the background music screams down. Your queen of night steps out from the curtain frills. Embrace your imagination captured. The lady in the camera. You hide her behind the closet of your hidden treasure, never to be discovered by anyone. Your secret dies with you. End poem.
Nice read, Gray. Great job. Yeah, this is interesting. A good good little brevity. And again, just an interesting place that they took on. I was really thrilled with the different ways that people came out in their mind with this. And by the way, just to keep with the international flavor, Rangarath, our representative from somebody from India. So thanks for writing from India. So I like this again. He came up with a character, which is always fun, right? Flowing over pure white gowns, hand moving slowly. Then one day the background music streams down. Your queen of night sits out for the curtain. Embarrass your imagination captured the lady in the camera. It's almost this fantasy. And he says it there. Every mind hides an elegant fantasy, an unfinished, untouched, dreamy figure. And so he's just picturing this, this person in his fantasy actually kind of coming out and coming into his life. So I thought the imagery was great, and he had a really nice little story in a brevity here. So thanks, Rangarath. Awesome job. I thought it was that was very well done. I enjoyed it. Weaver, what do you think?
Well, I'm finding this one. There's so much in this one. Secret Closet for a start. We have that. So something is a secret that shouldn't be spoken about. Could it be a romance? I don't know. But I love the her face camouflaged in a silky veil of mystery. In the backdrop of every mind hides an elegant fantasy of an unfinished, untouched, dreamy figure. That's just lovely, isn't it? So this is not anything that's actually happened as yet. This is something in this lovely guy's mind. So he hides her behind the hidden treasures that you have. And so he's not going to do anything. He's not going to say anything. He's just got this wonderful image of a wonderful person that he's not going to pursue. But he has it, as far as I can see, anyway. But it was beautiful. Lovely. I love the flow of words. I love the hand-in-hand, they move in slow motion. I love slow-mo. I think that is the most fantastic thing ever that you can see on television or films is slow-mo. It just has this elegance to it. It's wonderful. I want to be able to do it, but need someone to do it for me, I suppose. Very well done, Rangarath. I'm twittering again. You'll get used to that. Thank you very much for sharing.
Yeah, I agree when slow motion is done correctly. So some people I've heard say that when they use slow motion in movies or TV, it's a amateurish technique, which it can be, but when it's done correctly, it's very impactful. So I like it as well too in the movies. I just wanted to comment on that. So sorry, Gray, didn't mean to interrupt.
Oh, that's okay. But you just reminded me of a movie. I think it's I can't think of it. But I mean, it's a bullet, and it's
The Matrix.
Yeah, The Matrix, where the bullet's coming at him, and you know it's in slow motion, and that was a great slow mo scene, if you ask me. I really enjoyed The Right. You know, it really portrays the mystery behind the veil, being a beautiful woman that, you know, is never to be discovered by anyone. Your secret dies with you. It was definitely engaging and image-filled for sure. So thank you for sharing, Rangarath.
Absolutely cool.
Okay. And I need to ask you if we've had this one already, because I've got to that point where I forgot to write the last one down. So this is Behind the Curtain by Imarema. We didn't have this, did we?
We have not done this one yet. Nope.
Oh, good. Oh, so
you are good.
My brain is mush. Here we are. I'm in an awful lot of pain with my back at the moment, so I'm popping really strong painkillers, which is perhaps not the ideal thing to do when you're supposed to be reading. But it's either that or see, I'm not going on, so I didn't want to say I'm not going on. So just bear with me, folks. I'm okay. I'm just mush.
Yeah, we're all having friends here. But besides, it's like it's tomorrow where you are. So I would be completely comatose. It's like, isn't it like 4 in the morning in Scotland right now?
Half past three. And I've been awake since 3 o'clock yesterday morning.
Oh,
so that's about 24 hours.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I know it. But only because the pain in my back was keeping me awake, I think, you know, so hence the painkillers. Okay, let's not get...
Pretty good for that, Weaver, so...
Thank you very much. I can still see the words. That's got to be a bonus. Okay, Imarema, Behind the Curtain. With lots of other leaves, I share time and space, and I notice that a curtain hangs nearby as there... I do apologize. Let me start this one again. This is there. Right, catch yourself, Kate. Right. With lots of other leaves, I share time and space, and I notice that a curtain hangs nearby us there. So from my potted habitat, I go forward upon my stem until that curtain I can touch. The other bees, I'm mocked by them for being so nosy, so much. Through the curtain I see behind, out the window be leafless trees. In the winter season I find a leaf inside is more at ease. I tell the others what I see, but no other leaves believe me. End poem.
Great read, Weaver. And Daniel, what did you think?
So I thought this is a lot of fun because it was just personifying the leaf itself, right? So I hate to read the whole thing again, but it was just such a good story. So from my potted habitat, I grow forward upon my stem until that curtain I touch. The other leaves, I'm mocked by them for being so nosy so much. I thought that was a really fun little rhyme area. But then the leaf is looking out, looking at the trees, right? And in the winter season, So, you know, he might be mocked and not outside. They're kind of stuck behind this curtain, but now it's winter and they get to still live, right? I tell the others what I see, but no other leaves believe me. A leaf inside is more at ease, they're saying. So I really like the fun aspect of it. You know, this is, if you look at the picture, it is a little haunting. It's this white old lace leaf, and you see these kind of almost screaming faces coming through. And instead, Ima made it fun, made it a little, you know, this nice little rhyming, almost like a parable or a fable where the leaf is, you know, happier inside than outside because gets to, you know, they're all laughing at him, but he gets to, the leaf gets to now live while winter's coming, you know, but I get to live behind the curtain. So I thought that was a lot of fun. That was great. And I was going to keep with our international theme here. So we had, just to throw it out there, Doll in the Cupboard is, I believe, from United Kingdom, and Rodrigo is from Ireland as well, too. I'm not sure where Ima Reimer is from, but thought I'd throw that out there. So, yeah, that's my comment there.
Absolutely. Fantastic comment, Daniel. And I enjoyed the write. You know, I like the personification of the leaf and the leaves behind the curtain, looking out the window at leafless trees. I tell the others what I see, but no other leaves believe me. You know, it was fantastic, right? And it did a beautiful read of it, Weaver. And what did you think of the write, Weaver?
Yes, it was. I liked it a lot. I really did. I mean, it's like that, what is it, the little rooster that looks in the pool and sees the sun and thinks, you know, the sun is drowning. It's kind of like he knows something, but nobody else believes him. He knows that outside there is cold and horrible, and it's much nicer to be inside. And he sees that there's another potted plant that's thinking the same way, but nobody is paying attention. They don't bother. They're not interested, which is perhaps good, because you know how people can turn, plants can turn. Maybe they decide that he's taking too much water, or taking too much of whatever, and he should be sent back outside again. So don't draw too much attention to him, my lad. Just let him go on with it. So, yes, I thought it was wonderfully written, and I really enjoyed it. Thank you.
Great comment, Weaver. Thank you so much. All right, what do we have next, Weaver?
Okay, and next we have... Hi, S Sharp. Next we have Chord Pass Through by Rosie Jeans. And Daniel, would you read this for us, please?
Absolutely. And yes, thanks, Scott, for coming on the board. So we got a little party on the board there with Robbie and Scott. So thanks, guys. Rosie Jeans, where I'm not sure where she's from as I try to continue to highlight that. This is called Chord Pass Through. The mesh garment shows shadows across the belly. With a breeze that falls flat, there's a dolly ripping a spill with no coaster but a roller coaster, with winds against a baby bump. Blowing darkened developments as masts of identified cloud for filigree, with no magically filled fill of glee, but hunger in moth-eaten leaves that become a curtain that yet gets pulled daily, masquerade aid. To seen, to sense sands, that gets scrunched for, more crotchet, yet more protection. But I just have another line of poetry, not his daughter's daisy fresh page, where I was glad her desire sent email. Cursive fishnet without thinking, new patterns of lives can't fit in old, like a sunrise to be added at an undraped window of dusk. As I can speak to her, but my pen repeats useless orifice, for cloud etching no tombstone to stop me. At the navel of my emptied womb, as imprinted kisses, smudged on a clear pendant, never cleared as locked locket. Diffused sunlight can be cherished cheer, hoped for actually in another's heart also, or poked holes of my bones can x-ray ones that didn't fuse but were obscured, straight to my core to keep, inspired, injection, awkward. End poem.
Great read, Daniel. And Weaver, what are your thoughts? What did you think?
Yes, great read. This was very interesting. This is another one of those fantastic pieces of poetry that I wish I had a half an hour to peruse to get the meaning from it that it's meant. But we have a doily A doily is a piece of round piece of lace that's generally used in Victorian times to catch any spills from wine glasses or whatever. So we have that. And then we have moth-eaten leaves that become a curtain. So then the same thing happens. You've got holes in the curtains, but they're still pulled and they're still used, so they're all right. So yes, I think this has got an awful lot to do with this daughter that's so much waited for. The mother wants to meet this child so very much. I can speak to her, but my pen repeats useless orifice. For cloud etchings, no tombstone to stop me at the navel of my emptied womb. Oh, that does sound a little bit dire, doesn't it? I'm sorry, I may have to read this, I say read this again, because I think I've got the wrong slant on it, but I shall pass this over to my far more erudite friends. Tell me all about it.
Well, you did a great job of reading that, Daniel. But I like the poem. You know, it has interesting texture and conjecture to it, you know. As a dolly rippling a spill, the doily ripping a spill with no coaster but a roller coaster with winds against the baby bump, blowing darkened developments as masks of identified cloud for filigree, with no magically filled bill of glee, but hunger in moth-eaten leaves that become a curtain, that became a curtain that yet gets pulled daily, masquerade aid. You know, I think she captured the picture prompt quite beautifully in that those couple of stanzas there. And, you know, she really carries it through until the very end. But diffused sunlight can be cherished, cheer, hope, or actually in another heart also, or poked holes of my bones can x-ray, ones that didn't fuse but were skewered straight to my core to keep inspired interjection awkward. She really captured the prompt quite beautifully. And you did a fantastic read of it, Daniel. What are your thoughts, Daniel?
Yes, I did enjoy this, and I actually think I agree with you, Weaver. I actually think you were kind of spot on. So she says, with winds against the baby bump. So it is very dark, and it's either someone who is aborted or someone like a lost child. You know, the child was lost, whether abortion or whether the child was just lost before birth is what I got from this, and she's still, you know, looking for that child somewhere, and it's coming through. I also want to give, which I completely screwed up when I read it, but rhyming filigree with fill of glee, I thought was genius. When I first read that, I remember thinking that that's a great rhyme. I wish I did filigree and fill of glee, and I messed it up when I read it. So sorry about that, Rosie Jeans. It definitely deserves another read. And our poked holes of my bones can x-ray the ones that didn't fuse but were obscured. Yeah, I think there's something tragic that happened here, and she's just longing for this child, the daughter or whoever it is, and seeing it in this curtain face. So it's definitely a dark write, but really inventive and great imagery. So great job, Rosie Jeans. Appreciate the entry. So, by the way, the next one that we have here, there's actually two. I couldn't get it to fix, but there's two of them together. So there's the one by Air Anchor and the one by Robin Wood. So when you're posting them, there's actually two together. Just to warn you, Weaver.
Thank you, my dear. Yes, I did kind of notice that. I thought, hello, what we got here? But I'm going with the first one I picked up, which is Where Are Your Daughters? By Air Anchor. So I shall give this a read. If I can get it to open. Oh my goodness me. Oh, PCs don't like me. Can I make it up? No. Where are your daughters? Open up, you heap of things.
Where are your daughters? Where is the poem? That's what it should be.
Here we are. There it got is. It. Thank you. Your magic voice just conjured it from nowhere. So, Where Are Your Daughters by Air Anchor. Now, who read the last one? It wasn't me, was it?
That was me, I think. No, go for it.
Okay. Okay, I'll read this one. Where Are Your Daughters by Air Anchor. Where are your daughters? Staring blankets in the eyes, long eyelashes dripping of mascara. One is on the way to Planet A. I just know how crooked perverts like to rearrange the wings and faces of nighttime butterflies into horrid pictures of their own design. The blackened butterflies are breathing through the fabric, struggling to cry out for help and safe reprieve from evil masterminds. End poem.
Beautiful read, Weaver. And what did you think of the poem, Daniel?
Yeah, this is interesting where Air Anchor went, and he or she's actually from Belarus. I thought I'd throw that out there again. So I haven't seen poets from Belarus before, so that's pretty cool. But what they said was the from the description, I know that these are not butterflies but leaves. But the picture photo reminded me of several snapshots from music videos of Orthodox metal songs where the theme is serial killers playing on innocent girls. And so that very dark place that he went there, but you could see that when I look at the picture, that's what I feel is somebody in torment, you know. And it just makes you sad whenever you read things like this. I mean, I think the poem is well done. But, you know, how I was talking to my wife about this the other day, because I've been reading a lot about, people who are taken. And how there's an estimate of like 2 million slaves in this world, of people that were actually captured and taken and are being used. And I keep hearing of, how women in North Korea and China are taken for slavery. And then when they're done with them, harvest for organs. Which to me is insane. Not only the fact that is happening to the people, but who are the ones that are buying people and buying these black market organs? It just seems like such a horrible thing when we use other people, you know. And him talking about serial killers that do the same thing. They capture people and use them for their own purposes and throw them away like a bought item. And the depth that evil can get to, it just makes me so sad. I can't think of another word except sadness. He took it to a very, very dark place, it was a very interesting write, and I enjoyed it. I'm glad he submitted. And Scott said, on the board, I love how Anchor uses butterflies as a verb here. Interesting write. Amazing directions we can all take a picture, really. Which is, yeah, absolutely true. That's what I was saying earlier, Scott. Gray, what do you think, my friend?
Yeah, you know, having a daughter, you know, this really hit me in the heart. Tragic notation of, the way that crooked perverts like to rearrange the wings and faces of nighttime butterflies into horrid pictures of their own design, you know. There's so much evil in the world. It's just horrifying. And, you know, unfortunately, our daughters are the ones that are preyed upon because of the man being, you know, the prominent oppressor. And, like you said about people being used in prostitution and then harvested for their organs, that's just insane. But, you know, to know that happens is just a really tragic and sad thing. And it's a very impactful poem, short but impactful for sure. And what are your thoughts, Weaver?
I agree with you. Yes, definitely. I did like the brevity of it. I love the AN comments as well. It is a difficult world to live in. You know, you would have to have 6 layers of skin all set with alarms that if anybody punctures or gets through or in any way disturbs it, there'll be horrible noises screaming out, you know, leave me alone. Women, I know men, yes, okay, men do get beaten up and men do get hurt by other men. I understand that. Generally it's to do with things that have been stolen or things that are owed to people. But women, they have this added little problem. They're not strong, they're not tough, they're not, some of them of course are, yeah, there are people who are, but on you know, if you look at them on the whole, most of them really would have to learn martial arts to get out of any situation, because they have difficulty, and as well, they have difficulty hurting people sometimes. If you were to look at somebody and then put your fist up and think, well, what am I going to do with this exactly? I'm going to do much. It is. It's a hard thing. So, yes, you've got to look after your daughters because you don't know what they're walking into. And education is the one thing, and tutelage is the other thing you can do, so they know what they can do to protect themselves. Beautifully written. I really enjoyed it. Thank you.
Yeah, beauty is, I think, some of the issue. You know, beauty is preyed upon, and you know, women are beautiful, and it's too bad that that's something that's, you know, that's there, and I just can't understand it. I have a son, and obviously I still worry about him. I mean, anybody can be preyed upon, especially when they're younger, right? Kids, how anybody can hurt a kid? Either I know we're going to a dark place, but I just get it. It's just the most evil thing, just using another person like that. I just, you know, especially just, you know, taking their life away. I just can't fathom how somebody could go there. You know, I was driving my car. My girlfriend and I was driving my car today, and there was a little butterfly flying in front of me, and I swerved out of its way, and I felt a little nervous, like I was going to hit it. So I was starting to say about hurting this butterfly that was in my road, in the way of my road. And people can capture other people and torture them and kill them. It's just beyond my comprehension. You know, I'm not saying I'm the greatest person in the world, but I don't understand how you can do that without a horrible guilty conscience. But yeah, excellent. Thanks, Air Anchor, for writing from Belarus. Thanks for the entry. So let's go somewhere else. Where do you want to go? What's next? I think it's Robin World.
Yeah, we have Code Red by Robin World. I've read enough, I think. People are getting fed up hearing me. So, Gray, would you care to read this one, please?
Sure. We have Code Red by Robin World. Code Red at Outpost 9, Breaker Breaker, two unidentified faces watching us from behind the snow curtains. By the looks of things, we'll be needing backup faster than can arrive. So get moving before we die. End poem.
Excellent job. And Robin World is from the exotic country of the state of Maine in the United States. One of my favorite places to go. So I'm jealous that you live up there, Robin. So very interesting. Where Robin went with this, two unidentified faces watching us from behind the snow curtains. So really just being freaked out by it, which I got to be honest, is what happened to me. I live in an old house that I swear is haunted. It's creaky. You know, if you ever been in old, I mean, I can't talk about old houses from Scotland, right? I mean, you know, my house is from the 1800s, and that's like a new house in Scotland. I get it. Weaver. But still, it's very creaky and old, and I go upstairs sometimes, and I went upstairs. This is at night I took the picture. I went upstairs, and I looked, and I see these two little faces, and it did freak me out a little bit. So I think, you know, this is something we haven't seen yet on the perspectives of somebody actually seeing that, like looking at it and what will happen. So just and kind of a little humorous almost, a little fun take on it where, oh, geez, we got to go. This face is coming out of the closet. Let me call 911. Let's get out of here. You know, Robin did it very poetically. And, it was fun. Fun little brevity. What do you think, Weaver?
I agree. I like brevities. Never used to. I felt they kind of stifled you a little bit. But that was just my inability to do it properly, if you know what I mean. Once you look at it and you can play with words, and you can, you know, you have your sentence, you can make it shorter. It's possible. So, yes, I do enjoy brevity. And this is so clever. I love the way it starts. Co-ed Red at Outpost 9, Breaker Breaker, two unidentified faces watching us. Oh, my goodness. You're in the middle of space. What the heck are they doing? I loved it. I thought it was brilliant. I really did. It was so clever. We'll be needing backup faster than can arrive to get moving before we die. Okay. Slightly late, I think, but pick up something heavy and throw it. Your best bet. I thought this was clever, very clever, giving you that little frisson of fear, but also giving you that little, you know, that little smile, the little snigger that you, you know, you can't help when you read something like this, which is incredible. So yes, I really enjoyed it. And thank you so much for sharing that with us, Robin.
Great comment, Weaver. Thank you. And yeah, you know, I found the poem fabulous. You know, it's a brevity, like you were saying, Weaver, but it says so much in those short lines, you know, where you see these faces coming at you and you panic, you know, and you need backup, you know, get moving before we die because they're coming after you and they're coming through the snow veil. And I thought it was wonderful. So thank you for sharing Robin's World. All right, where are we to next?
Right. I was sending something somewhere where it shouldn't have been going, so I brought it back. I've corralled it. I have it here. Don't know what they're doing tonight. They're just, they must have been drinking my sherry. Okay. Dark leaves hiding through the curtains of white lace by Little 20. And Daniel, could you read this for us, please?
Yeah, absolutely. I would love to. The ghost plants provide an impactful lesson swiftly and efficiently. Well, what do we have here? Halloween is over. What are you guys doing under that lace sheet? Well, you didn't water my friends and I, and we were left to withdraw. We are forever your friends. Don't you believe in the healing power of plants? It's too late for me to be reborn, and maybe I can make amends. It's God's decision. I must go before the botany council priest and plead my case. I'll make an attempt, as there is no option for failure. Instead of trying, you must take immediate action. I've had the privilege of witnessing my extraordinary star aliens. I'll give it a go. That's all we must do, my friend. Continue on, loyal companion. I hope that you are deemed worthy by the divine kingdom. May the courage of the Creator nourish your soul as you journey forward. End poem. And Little 20 is in Canada, up with you, Gray. So let's start with you for comments.
Well, that was a great read, Daniel. And I like where they went with this, you know, the ghost plants provide an impactful lesson swiftly and efficiently. Well, what do we have here? Halloween is over. What are you guys doing under that lace sheet? You know, speaking directly to the plants as they peek through the lace curtain. And, you know, and then is it too late for me to be reborn and maybe I can make amends? It's God's decisions. I must go before the botany council priest. Plead my case. I'll make an attempt, as there is no option for failure. Instead of trying, you must take immediate action. And I enjoyed it. You know, it was definitely packed with so much to say. You know, that's all we must do, my friend. Continue on, loyal companion. I hope that you are deemed worthy by the divine kingdom. And, you know, you get the power to live. So I thought it was great. Fantastic read as well, Daniel. And Weaver, what are your thoughts?
Well, Code Red always makes your fingers tingle and you wonder what's happening. It says Code Red we're on, isn't it? Please tell me I'm on the right poem.
No, we're on the dark leaves hiding through curtains of white lace.
I had this feeling. I just had this feeling. I thought, I know I'm not in the right place. Okay, not a problem. Well, it is a problem, but I'll get there. Can you talk amongst yourselves? No.
Yeah, I can call. I'll comment for. I'll comment. Give you a minute.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I'm getting
No problem. So I liked it as like almost like a little play, I thought. And again, it was a fun take. Now, still a different take. But what I've liked so far about, I like to see themes when we do different contests. I do that with a Faziana too. And this one, what I like about the themes is it doesn't have a theme. Everybody's doing different things, which is like is really interesting. And even though we've had some fun takes on the prompt, this one is definitely a different way where, you know, it's almost like a little play, like a conversation between the plants. And she's talking about the botany council. I just thought she really went to almost like this fantasy kind of world. It reminded me of like a Harry Potter type world, to be honest. I know that's what I was picturing was that type of a world that she created here. So I thought it was really, really fun. Great job. Where was it? It was one other line here. I hope you may the courage of the Creator nourish your soul as you journey forward. So it's just this again, this kind of weird little world that she created of the plants kind of talking to each other. And yeah, great job, little 20. But that was fun. So, Weaver, did you want to comment or do you want to move on?
No, I've got it now.
Ladies' choice. Okay, cool.
Thank you. I've got it now. I don't know what went wrong, but it happens. I have two different sides of my brain, and they don't speak to each other. Antisocial or what? Okay. I thought this was brutal. I enjoyed it when I heard you talking about it. And I love the fact that you didn't water my friend and I. We were left to withdraw. But still, we are forever your friends. Don't you believe in the healing power of plants? I do. I think plants are wonderful. They're for a reason, and the reason is to look after us, and we have to look after them. We must keep the ground level and clear and ready for the trees that must go back up again from the ones that we've cut down. I'm a tree person, but yes, beautifully written. I really enjoyed it. And I love dark leaves hiding two curtains of white lace. I thought it was superb.
Cool. All right, so let's go to a new world here. Sorry, Gray, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, I was just going to say absolutely beautiful comment, Weaver. Where are you next, Weaver?
I think, if I've got myself turned back around again, we've got Never Worn by Ruth M. March. I hope I haven't missed anything out, but I will read this one. Give me a second while I got a little sip of water, and I'll be with you.
Hey, no problem. You got water, I got wine, and I probably drink too much so far. So I might start slurring my words even more here. My tradition.
That's my default place, slurring.
Yeah.
Okay, we have Never Worn by Ruth M. March. And there's your picture again. It's so cute. And scary. All right. It hangs on a nail by the door, a veil I never wore, a wedding where I would have said words that now will never be heard. I was stood up at the altar, then I did falter and promised to never again. I cried. The faces you see are really me, and the tears that were fallen and shed, encased in a veil never worn. End poem.
Well, beautiful read, Weaver. And, you know, the poem's haunting. You know, it really is sad and tragic that a wedding where I would have said words that now will never be heard. You know, that just haunts you. You know, there's so many women that have been to this place where, you know, they've got this beautiful dress and this beautiful, you know, veil, and they never got to use them because things went sideways. And so, I mean, you know, it's quite an emotional poem filled with sadness and despair. The faces you see are really me, and the tears that were fallen and shed, encased in a veil never worn. And very sad and tragic, but engaging throughout. So excellent write and a fabulous read, Weaver. And Daniel, what did you think?
Yeah, I agree the same thing. And Ruth is in the United States with me somewhere. And I liked it as well too, as far as that perspective. You know, I was excited when I first read it to say, oh yeah, a veil, that's a really great way to look at that. And then seeing those faces of the, you know, when you can see sadness, I think I was writing a poem for a Phasianis contest about, and I was kind of talking about how you can build up happy and sad memories, and they're related with things and places, right? So you can, you can drive by someplace and not, you know, just always have a bad memory of something bad happened there, or have something in your house that just relives that. You can also have it for good things too, right? Every time you take out the shirt, you go, oh yeah, I remember this shirt was this concert shirt. This concert was great, right? You have a good memory. Where this veil is a bad memory. So I'm sure. I don't know if she got psychology into the character, but, you know, you want to do like, why does she keep the veil there if it ain't just sad all the time? But, you know, that is something, right? So maybe it's sitting on the nail and it's just creating the sad faces. Either she sees in it or she sees in herself. When she sees the veil, it always comes up with sadness. And it was just beautifully well done. I mean, Ruth is a great poet, and I think she really composed this beautifully. But yeah, it was excellent. What about you, Gray? Or you already commented?
Yeah.
Sorry, Weaver.
Yeah, I did.
Sorry, that's the wine kicking in.
Hello, Weaver.
What do you think?
Hello. Sorry, did it again. Oh my goodness me. I was just trying to think to myself, have I already commented? But no, I haven't. Yes, I thought this was, again, such a clever write. This veil that supposedly hides you from your husband-to-be and where you can then reveal yourself as virginal and white and worth everything to the man of your dreams. That's a thing that most women would like. And it was the way it was in the days of my mother, and that was how it was expected to be. But things have changed so much, and everything is different. But the faces you see are really me, and the tears that were fallen and shed, encased in a veil never worn. Yep, it's a very difficult thing. Relationships are difficult anyway. So we have this little hiccup at the altar, which I hope was rectified, and everything went wonderfully. But very well read, very well written. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you're right. Things have definitely changed. I think, but anybody that's in love, I mean, if you do fall in love with somebody, you want to stay with them, it's still always tragic. But it is true. Back in the day, you got married, and nowadays, I'm just seeing so many kids who are just, I don't know if they ever have that. You know, there's so many young kids, even in their 30s, who it doesn't seem like they have any desire to have a long-term relationship. You know, it's a different time. You're right. I know that's off topic, but it is true. You know, and I don't necessarily get that. I love being married. I like having somebody. I would hate to, you know, I'm 55 and I hate to just be sitting here like alone by myself, you know, not having a family. You know, I guess you get used to it. If you don't have one, you don't have one, right? That's what your life is. But I can't imagine not having a family. It's just, I know it is a different time. I'm seeing a lot more of that. But sorry, don't be off topic. So I'd throw that out there.
No,
well,
it's okay.
Me and my world now, you know, this is mine. This is me. I don't need anything else, but me, you know, because this is mine and I'm going to keep it all.
True.
So,
you're right.
Yeah, it's sad but true.
Yeah.
No, you're right. You're right. There's a lot of a kind of me generate. At least in I don't know if it's like that in Scotland, but in the United States over here in North America, I'm seeing a lot more of, you know, yeah, that me, that kind of you know, me generation, which you know, hopefully they go a different path.
Yeah. Well, I can understand that. I mean, I would seriously be better off on my own. I would hurt less people. I would be nicer. You know, I should really be on. Some people should be on their own. It's an amazing thing, but it's true. You know, they should. And so it's a hard thing. Life is, it can be wonderful. It can be great. It can be sweet and musical. And other times it can actually be quite hard work. So we have to take that with that and balance it out in our lives and say, okay, I hurt about that, but I feel happy about that. So let's just try and concentrate on the part that really works. And then hopefully the other part will disappear. It won't. Yeah, brilliantly done. I really enjoyed this. I thought it was very clever. So thank you so much for sharing.
Absolutely. Great comment, Weaver. All right, where are we to next, Weaver?
I love that. Where are we to next? I'm going to start saying that. I love it. Okay, the mind... I do. I think it's so cute the way you speak. It's no wonder the Canadian films go so well, because there is a lilt to it and there's a beauty to it, which I love. Because I do love voices. I am so enamored of voices. Doesn't matter what's on the outside. If you have a wonderful voice, man, you've got it made. Okay. Yeah, it is true. You can touch people's minds and hearts just by going, hello. So cool.
Hello.
Okay. How are you doing? Ah, I love that guy. Right, the mind of
Joey.
The shadow. Yes, that's the chap. Oh, he's brilliant. Just the way he says it and that little tilt of his eyebrow.
How you doing?
How you doing? That's it. So nice. And, oops, getting warm. Okay, now we have The Mind of the Shadow by S. Sharp. And Gray, could you read this for us, please?
Sure, you betcha. So The Mind of the Shadow by S. Sharp. Shadows opine independence along the curtain's divide. Flowered imprints collide with the other side. Dark reaches step out of the shadow, brought forth into the light. Masked vines of dark and light mimic no one. End poem.
Excellent job. And yes, Scott, still on the board. I thought this is great. This is interesting. And, you know, really took it to a very spiritual level. And I don't mean necessarily, you know, religious, just spirits, you know, where it's like reaching the other side, you know, and that's always an interesting, you know, way to think of it is other dimensions or other sides. And, you know, thinking of the curtain here as this kind of divide, right? And curtains are thin, right? So they are almost like a little wall. So thinking that's a divide into the other, you know, I've heard a million little theories, right? Of one of my favorite authors, Larry Niven, had a fun story called For a Foggy Night, which were fog. He described fog as dimensions clashing, and that's what fog actually. So this guy walks into a fog and comes out with a whole nother world. And the idea of the lace curtain as the, you know, as the divide is interesting. And The Mind of the Shadow I thought was really good. So, you know, flowered imprints cloudy outside, dark reaches step out of the shadow, but forth into the light. Of dark and the light mimic no one. Was an excellent one. And like I said, The Mind of the Shadow was a really interesting way to take of that, because it's to me the way you wrote the poem, because when I just read the poem separately, it's kind of almost just descriptive. But then The Mind of the Shadow makes you think as you read it instead, which I think why titles are so important. It makes you think of the almost personifying the shadow of coming out. So it gets you more into the character. So excellent job, Scott. I enjoyed it. Yeah, so let's go to Weaver.
Oh, hello. Caught me maybe on. Hello. Well, I'm on. That's a good thing. I thought this was very clever. I like the idea of, you know, you don't want to be in the shadows. You want to be part of what's going on. But for whatever reason, you're not part of the group, of the crowd, of the people who bring forth the light and talk about it. And they mimic no one. I mean, that, so they, you know, they got it all settled. They know exactly what's going on. This poor chap wants to join in, but is not sure. Independence along with the curtain device, flowered imprints collide with the other side. So, you know, it's not going the way he would like it to go, and he's not quite understanding, although he knows there is something to reach out for. There's something there. But, yeah, it's he must live on a different street or go to a different school or whatever, but he's not part of this particular group, and he really wants to be. Okay, probably completely wrong, but that's kind of what I got from it, and it was beautifully written. Scott, I really enjoyed it. Thank you so much for sharing.
Cool, and you got to read it, Gray, I believe. I'm starting to forget already. It's pretty sad when I forget things happened 5 minutes ago, right? But, what do you think, Gray?
No, I did read it, yeah. But I enjoyed it, you know. I liked the introspection of the division between dark and light. You know, it's fascinating that, like you said, the fog that happens and, you know, between light and dark. And so I thought he captured that quite beautifully in his poem, which is short but sweet. Well done, Scott. Thank you for sharing.
Cool. All right. Let's continue on with the curtain theme. What else do we want to do?
So next we have Back to That Moment by Ben Hart. And Daniel, would you like to read this for us?
I will. Knowing Ben's poems, I'm going to take a quick drink here.
Yeah.
And get going. So, Ben, one of my favorites as always. And if people who don't know following along, Ben is from the Netherlands. And he does all the artwork as well, too. So the artwork that he has on here, he's a great artist as well. So it's called Back to That Moment. Part one, She Loves Me Not was a death sentence. A smothered dusk spun from speechless lungs. The daisy she kissed across a black current lake, like the ships leaving Rotterdam, into the laughter of the waves. Yeah, the flight of the paper crane across rainbow of golds and grays, marking the distance between romantic stowaways. That sunlight had to thread through snowfall in a drunken stumble, back to the wanting beholder, dangling her feet off Saturn's rings of rubble, skipping it into the black to see if nothingness ripples. And so she slowly picks apart another home with us still in it, just to watch the dull bleeding of polarized forests like a eulogy whispered through purple teeth. As the static ashes of time's monochrome fall over the javelin pines like stars into false promise. Part two, promised now. In a fleeting rush, low tides anxiety charged across a glass canvas, paying a piper's penny to watch the thunder weaving a scarred sky back together as a temporary tattoo on its skin. Part three, farewell sex. Shadows writhing beneath streetlight mobiles. In a parking lot ballet, a meteor shower, undoing blooming in a frost, to heal a sickness called youth for the last time. Part four, the witch behind the curtains. Cobalt lips undressing my smile to swing from a crescent moon, an ember of stardust on a wolf's tongue, a pendulum feather in her dream catcher, a kind unraveling for the flightless eagle to be caught in a web of light and event horizon. End poem.
Beautiful read, Daniel. And what are your thoughts, Weaver?
As ever, you have Ben Hart, and you have his heart laid out for you. And he puts every word exactly where it should be, giving you that glimpse into what it is to be Ben Hart. So much talent. I mean, really, it is. Wow, his paintings are haunting and light. For some reason, they always make me think of pastel light and a soft, gentle wind. And, you know, there isn't a horrible darkness until hours pass, and then that horrible darkness will arrive eventually. But in that moment, he gives you everything you want for the daisy she kissed across a black current lake, like the ships leaving into the laughter of the waves. Wonderful. I love the way his mind works. I love the way he reads the words he uses. Very good, Ben. Thank you so much for sharing.
Absolutely. Great comment, Weaver. And, you know, what really caught me was the javelin pines. You know, that's so imaginative to think of pine trees as javelins. I love his imagination. You know, it's so awe-inspiring, which is what I said in my comment. Ben, your imagination is awe-inspiring, you know, because he really does put so much imagination into his work, like a pendulum feather in her green catcher, a kind unraveling for the flightless eagle to be caught in a web of light and event horizon. Yeah, just a beautiful poem, you know, fantastic imagination, Ben, and thank you for sharing. And a great read, Daniel. What did you think of the poem, Daniel?
I agree with what all you said. His imagination is pretty amazing. And like you said, Weaver, you know, I can tell about, you know, people a lot of times say that is one of the signs of greatness, or one of the signs of an artist, is you can tell them right away. You know, for those of you know who B.B. King is, B.B. King can play one note on a guitar and you know it's B.B. you know, you can look at a Picasso or a or you know, certain painters, and you know it's them right away, right? And you know, same thing with Ben. I can. You wouldn't have to tell me this is Ben's. I'd look at it and say, okay, this looks like a Ben Hart. So, and I really like these. So, concentrate on the first one. She Loves Me Not was a death sentence, and I just thought that was such an amazing way to look at that. Just the title itself, because She Loves Me Not, obviously from you know that silly little game where you have the flowers, you pull the petals off. She loves me. She loves me not. She loves me. And then She Loves Me Not with a death sentence, so that she doesn't love him, and he sees those screams in the picture, and then showing that as his, you know, losing his love. So yeah, I thought that was really, really great and awesome. It was fun to read, Ben. Thank you very much for saying the prompt. And what do you want to do now?
I want to get off mute. Okay, here we are. My fingers don't work. Oh my God. Send. Okay. Mask of Leaves by T.C.O. And I will read this one. There we have it. Mask of Leaves. A white curtain cloaks theatrical masks of twain. One smiles and one frowns. Mimicked by the plant, Melpothin and Theria's odd accessories. Tragedy or comedy, it's life either of the two. End poem.
Great read, Weaver. And Daniel, what are your thoughts?
So first of all, thanks, TCO, for writing from the Philippines. So our first Filipino writing for this contest, and it was really great. You know, I didn't see this when I first saw when I took the picture, and as soon as she mentioned it, she says it in the author's notes, a haiku and a taniku inspired by the contest prompt. I saw the face of leaves resembling Greek theatrical masks, and as soon as she said that, that's all I can see now. Like it is true that is really what they look like, and I really think that was a great way to go. And she wrote in there as well too, because she talks about mimicked by the plant, Melopephemy and Thalia's odd accessories. You know, so she's talking about them, and it says Melpomene, patron of tragedy in Greek mythology, often depicted holding a frowning mask. And then Thalia, patron of comedy in Greek mythology, also often depicted holding the smiling mask. So I thought that was great for her to come up with that and put that in a nice little brevity. So great vision, Tasio. Thank you so much for entering.
Absolutely. Wonderful comment, Daniel. And yeah, I enjoyed the write and the relation between, you know, the masks and the leaves, you know, Masks of Leaves is the name of her title, which is a fascinating interpretation of the prompt, you know. I mean, she really captured the correlation between the picture and the history of the masks as well. So it was a great chair and an excellent read, Weaver. What did you think of the write, Weaver?
Yes, I did enjoy it very much. I'm glad I got a chance to read it. excuse me. I like the A White Curtain Cloaks Theatrical Masks of Twain, One Smiles and One Frowns. So you see, that's the comedy and tragedy masks that are always around. Was it Greek? Was it in Greece that they had those first? I don't know. But anyway, that's tells you. Yeah. You think so? Yeah?
I think so, yeah.
Cool. Oh, I got some. Well, it's good to be old. I can remember things from way back. I was there.
Yeah.
Oh, I wish I was there. They had grapes and wine. Okay, no, sorry. Wonderfully done.
Yeah.
Taste it wonderfully done. I really enjoyed it. I thought this was, I like the fact that you grasped onto tragedy or comedy. It's life, either of the two. And it's true. I mean, you have variations. You have paler or darker hues, you know, coming from those particular emotions. But what you have is the joy of laughter and the horribleness of hate. So, yes, wonderfully done. And thank you so much for sharing that with us.
Cool. And I think we might have missed just one. So that's almost the end of that first contest. I think we might have missed one. Weaver,
okay.
I'm going to post that one for you. By Tyler Jakeway, and I'll actually give it a read. But otherwise than that, this will be the last one for the contest.
Okay.
And let's take a look here. So this is called Release Me. We didn't do this one, right? Please tell me because I'm second guessing myself. I don't
know.
We
didn't.
This one. Okay, good. Okay.
We didn't.
All right. Yes. So next time before the show, I have to not drink wine. We have to all get sleep and be ready because I'm confusing myself. All right. Release me. Release me from your wicked hold. You are as bad as eating mold. It's going to lead me to where my body turns cold. Unlock your grasp. Why did you gasp? You knew this was coming, and I can tell you hate it, but that's irrelevant. Release me from your ambivalence. I am the one to suffer the consequence. I know it was deliberate. The insight hadn't been delivered yet. I figure it had been intercepted, so I foolishly accepted. Release me from this ignorance that you forced into my traits. I miss fishing riverbanks. Let's be realistic. I was fully present when you turned me sadistic. Fueled my rage to make me go ballistic. But I'm not bulletproof. I can handle anything you put me through. Release me, you parasite. I'm through being polite because this is not right. My future you took from me was so bright, and I'm aware I can have it back with a strong enough fight. Release me from your destructive ways. Day after day, I can feel my teeth decay. I must be candid. You will be abandoned because now that I'm damaged, you're leaving me stranded. End poem. And what Jake said was, the image made me think of desperate souls trying to escape and be released by the curtains that hold them back. Gray, you want to start with you?
Yeah, you did a great read on that. But, you know, it was definitely emotive, you know. It to me, it speaks of addiction, you know, being held back by this sheer wall that, you know, holds you back and rots your teeth. And so... You know, to me it speaks of addiction and breaking free of that. I must be candid. You will be abandoned because now that I'm damaged, you're leaving me stranded. You know, it really has a feel of addiction to me, and I thought it was a great take on the prompts. You know, he really captured it quite beautifully. So great job, Tyler, and thank you for sharing. And what are your thoughts, Weaver?
Cool. Oh yes, this was deep. I can't imagine how it must feel to be dictated to by your own brain, contrary to what you think life should be. But there is always this place, this dark place, that is holding you back. And if you could jack that and get rid of it, you could fly. So yes, it's a terrible thing, being not quite even with yourself, being not quite balanced, and you know that in the back of you know that in the back of your head, there is something whispering in your ear, and you don't want to hear it. Yeah, very well written, Tyler. I really enjoyed this. This is not much coming from me because I know nothing, but I actually enjoyed this. I love the way that you showed us you can be released from ignorance. You just have to be told. You have to be, you know, be realistic with me. Tell me what's actually happening. I can take it or I can't, but at least I have the choice. So yeah, beautifully done. Thank you for sharing.
Great comment, Weaver. And Daniel, you read it. What did you think?
I thought Tyler did an awesome job, and I really enjoyed the. It was fun to read because I thought the rhyming was great and it was inventive. And the spacing was all really great. So he did an awesome compositional job. It was fun. And then, yeah, just kind of playful. I can see it now. I didn't see it as an addiction, but I can see it now that you mentioned it. Great. I think it's a great analogy. And I just kind of saw it as more just this soul just fighting back. It seemed more like an abusive person or somebody that was fighting back, but that's bringing out anger. And that can happen a lot. You know, you can you know, you hear about people being abused or in bad relationships forever, and they just stay there until something happens. But then also sometimes they lose it, right? And they just get abused. This is an obscure reference, but I was watching this movie, a really great movie. It's a John Grisham novel, and it was actually, I keep forgetting, it was directed by Francis Ford Coppola. I keep forgetting that great director did this. It's called The Rainmaker. It's with Matt Damon and Danny DeVito. It's a great movie, and there's a scene in it where the girl is an abusive relationship, and she ends up fighting back, and she ends up killing the guy. You know, it just couldn't take it anymore, and that's kind of what reminded me a little bit of that. So great, Tyler, awesome job. And it is 11:30, so we have, or 11:30 at Eastern time, wherever you are in the world, I don't know, but we're in my house, it's 11:30 at night. So we have time to do some of the next contest, which is where we are.
Okay.
And again, it's going to be hard to describe the prompts because it's hard to describe pictures on a audio podcast, but called Hawk in the Distance, which is very simply, I was taking a walk and I saw this hawk flying high up in the sky, and I kind of took pictures and said, you know, I could make an interesting contest. So there's three pictures here of, you know, first one is just blue sky with just a hawk. You can see it as a hawk. The second one is kind of there's some bare branches in the, and you can see this tiny little dot up in the, which is a hawk. And then the next one is blue sky with the hawk much farther away. So I tried, they're all pretty much the same thing, but you know, just picture yourself just, you know, I see hawks all the time, and I don't know if they have. I think they have hawks all over the world. You have hawks. You have hawks and eagles where you are, Weaver.
Yes, in the Highlands, there everywhere.
The Highlands.
I love the way they
okay.
they hover, and then they
yeah.
just drop. Fabulous.
Yeah, absolutely, and I know they're up in Canada as well. So just picture when you're seeing a hawk kind of flying way up high. And that's really what the prompts are. I just have three kind of, you know, pictures of that. And, yeah, we have some poems to read. So what do you want to do first?
So we're going on to where we are. Here we are. Let me just check. The last poem we had was Masses of Leaves. So we're on to the next competition. And the pictures are beautiful. And we've got Skia by Grissel von Leben. I think. Can't say it properly. I do apologize. But, Gray, once I've got this up, if you would be so kind as to read it, that would be excellent. There we are.
Okay, okay.
Yeah.
All right, so we have Skia by Grissel von Raben. Wind is ruffling feathers on my neck, cool and dry smells of corn, sun cooling too, red over the trees. I turn on the branch where you sat, Skia, heavy in my throat, but no food there. I fight the urge to go where you sleep. Last times, smell like fallen prey. I must go. I must. Sky reflection is gone. Big stopping place on stacked logs. Show glowing fires cold. Humans waking inside. Talking, I fly down to you. Your stillness heavy in my throat. But nothing there. Smell like prey. Cold on my cheek. Skia. Wake. 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 Humans hit the stopping place. See us. Each other. Wake. Mine. Wake. Log hole opens. Human comes. Wake. Wake. Fly, Skia. Human picks you up. I watch for you. Limp like prey. Skia. They take you to red-colored place where horses rest. They dig the ground, lay you in. Wake, wake. They are back in log stack. I can smell you through the ground. I will sit with you, guard you. Skia, heavy in my throat. My chest hurts. The tiny firebirds appear and light the sky. They slowly fly over us in silent flocks. You watch them with me. My only, on our branch, on the big acorn tree. Now I only smell prey on you. Now you are prey, prey not for eating, but I could not if I wanted to. Skia, heavy in my throat, and my stomach hurts. I sit for a while with you anyway, Skia. Watch the little firebirds migrate across the dark blue sky. Cool wind ruffles my neck feathers. Smell flowers in the air. Springtime comes, Kia. Skia, I will sleep with you in the springtime night. It smells like you used to. Skia, like springtime night. End poem.
Great job, Gray. Awesome read. And I wanted to... Gristle wrote this to me. I believe he named... It's a story, and I think he named the bird Skia. And he wrote me and said that this is based on a true story of a sparrow who came to try to wake up its mate by a library window. I once sat near the bird had hit it by the look of it a few days before I saw them. And in behind the bushes where the bird had fallen behind this two-story floor-to-ceiling window, the other bird fluttered down and kept trying to wake it. I swear I saw betrayal at being left alone and sadness in its eyes. It could see me looking at it through the window, and we connected at that moment. It has haunted me to this day. It makes me very sad, and I have seen horrible things. But, man, just telling you this makes my eyes water. And I was like, wow, what an amazing story. He had a connection with this bird, which I think is you can see sometimes in with anything. And we've all probably seen dead birds on the ground before, but then to see this other bird coming over to try to get it, then I could see how sad that could be. And I thought he did a great job. He named the bird, and you could feel the emotion in this from Gristle. And I thought he did an amazing job telling the story in poetic form and making it really beautiful. So this one actually got the – so great job, Gristle. This one actually got the silver. And Gristle is here in Arkansas. So thanks for writing, Gristle. And Weaver, let's go to you.
Oh, hello. Yes, that was beautiful. And wonderful comments from you both. I really enjoyed this. But somebody's put so much effort into getting their feelings across, only to find out that it really doesn't matter, because Skia knows what she's doing. I think it's lovely. I really enjoyed it. And I love his name, Gristle von Rabban. Not mucking about at all. There's a person you don't want to mix for yourself with. And I thought, yes, it was wonderful. You've got the glowing fires and people walking and talking, but the stillness when he's with her and he starts to smell the cold and feels like a prey. So, yeah, I think it was very cleverly done. She got her point across without having to say too damn much. Very well done. Thank you so much for sharing.
Excellent.
Great comment, Weaver.
All right, cool.
Sorry.
And go ahead.
No, I was just going to comment on the poem.
Yes,
you know, to me, it's very sad. You know, you can see her heart went into that the situation with the bird that landed outside his window and died, or crashed into his window and died. You can see the other birds trying to wake it, you know, come, wake, you know, wake up, you know, we got to fly, let's go. Why are you laying there? But I watch for you, limp like prey, Skia. They take you to red-colored place where horses nest. They dig the ground, lay you in, wake. It's just haunting in its urgency for this bird to come back to life and to join the flock again. And it was an excellent write and fantastic to read it.
Cool. All right, what do we got next?
Next we have Behind the Curtain by Emma Ray. Just give me a second. I hope we haven't had this one. This is so good because I'm getting to hear poetry from people I hadn't heard before, which is great. And we have Code Red by Robin World. That's so excellent. And Daniel, would you like to read this?
We've actually had that one. Yeah, that was from the old contest.
Oh my goodness, what's it doing down there?
Okay. We want to go below the
Oh yes,
below the hot
gone.
Pictures.
Yes, I've been above.
Red maples. I think we're on red maples.
Oh, see, it's wonderful. You know where we should be. I like
it.
Where is it? Oh yeah. Got it.
Where the red maples worship. The...
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Again, you see what you have sometimes is the problem with different size fonts, and my eyes are looking for things that.
Yeah, I don't know why I did that. When I put this on there, I had so much trouble. Like I tried to get when I set it up, it was fine, but when I had to add one, like because I was waiting for people to give permission, it wouldn't. I don't know if anybody else has this problem. I could not add one without it causing horrible problems, and I don't know why. So I apologize, Eva.
Yeah.
That's my fault. Where if some of them are kind of messed up, I apologize for that, but I could not for the life of me figure out how to add things to the prompt.
Yeah, I know.
It was very interesting.
It can catch you like that if you're not used to the system. And this is a different system from one I've ever used. So, yeah, it's fine. It was just me not actually reading it properly. I do apologize. We're so good. We're getting there. It's cool.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, cool.
You want to know what's all bizarre?
What, my dear?
You want to know what's bizarre? I said, you want to know what's bizarre, is I commented on Tezio's poem, and it has the date written. It's February 12th that I commented on it, but it was just today.
No wonder I'm getting mixed up.
Yeah.
Oh, you commented on it today, and it says February 12th?
Yeah, it does, you know, where it got the date beside the commented on.
Wow. Did you comment in the future or the past? February 12th of this year or next year? Let's see where I am. Travel in the future? What's happening over there?
I know, right?
Travel.
Oh, scary stuff. Right, we have I Hope, Where the Red Maples Worship by M.D. Donnelly. And Gray, would you like to read this, please?
Sure. Where the Red Maples Worship by M.J. Donnelly. Verdure capitulates to November. Scops owl sings a hymn to ancestors with raspy scream of accompanying sparrowhawk. On sage winds, cherry blossoms are deuterious, dried and trampled, if not kept, to lend a pleasant scent to winter pillows. Sunrise elicits humble smiles. Hugs are a little closer, tighter, meaningful, deep. Forest chill prods all. On a rise, split by a yet trickling stream, a nearby gunmetal bear, red maple bows, offering another crimson leap in reverence. Wafting cedar incense trails from a nearby kamada. End poem.
Excellent read. And MJ is from Iowa, I think. Am I right there? Yeah, he's from Iowa in the United States. Beautiful state. And I really like this. It's actually got the gold in the contest. The other one we just read got the silver. And I thought this is a really great tribute to nature. Adura capitulates to November. Scopes owl sings a hymn to ancestors. On sage winds, cherry blossoms are detritus. Dried and trampled, sunrise elicits humble smiles. And I like that where, you know, hugs are a little closer, tight, a meaningful, deep, forest chill prods all. And it is, you know, I just take my wife for an example. It's, I have noticed that if I give her a hug or if I'm with her, it means different things in different places. And, you know, at home, it can be just a comfort thing. But you know, we take walks in the woods a lot, and sometimes I'll just give her a hug in the woods or hold her hand, and it's a different meaning. So I thought that was very interesting. And I just thought that the whole thing was a real tribute to nature itself, where he's just kind of. Kind of showing the beauty of everything around. At the very end, so where it says wafting cedar incense trails from a nearby kamado, what he put in his author notes is a kamado is a, first I read it, I was like a komodo, that's a kamado, which is a type or style of Japanese cooking stove. So, you know, I like the way he combines nature, but with harmony of people. That's what kind of got me as well too. Because, you know, we have to remember we are nature. Sometimes we always talk about, you know, I like to go out in nature, but what do we think we are? You know, we're creatures, we're humans. We just hide in these habitats that we have that don't have to be with nature, right? I'm sitting in a house right now that's heated, that's you know, filled in with all this stuff, and I'm looking at a computer, but, you know, hiding from nature, but we are nature. And so, you know, I think that we can be at peace and at one with nature, and I think the way he described that beautifully in this poem. So excellent job, MJ. Really appreciate the, you know, entering the contest. And, let's go to Weaver. What do you think?
Yes, I agree. Totally. That is just one of those wonderful things that, again, flows. You understand the meaning. You understand what is being told to you. And I thought it was wonderful. And, you know, it can happen. It can happen that something arrives for you and it looks as though it's completely finished. It just takes a little bit of maneuvering and tightening to get it to the way you want it to be, if you manage to capture that thought that then carries on. And it can, as I say, it happens rarely, but it can. And it's a lovely feeling because you've got the words there at your fingertips to say exactly what you want to say. So very cleverly done, and I really enjoyed it.
Excellent, Weaver. You got to read it, Gray. Give us your thoughts.
Yeah, you know, the forest is the cathedral of nature, I think. You know, it's the holy place of nature. So when you're out on your walk with your wife and you hug her, there's a different meaning in the forest than there is in your driveway type thing.
Right.
That's what I get out of this, is that, you know, take that walk, enjoy the forest, you know, get a little closer, tighter, meaningful, deep forest, chill, prods all. But, you know, there's definitely a deeper presence of nature in the forest, you know, when you're in the cathedral of trees. And, you know, I live in British Columbia, which is... you know, used to be full of old growth forests, but they're not so much anymore. But, you know, there are trees that, you know, you take 12 people stretched out with their arms outstretched to wrap around a tree base, you know. And
so
to me, that's the cathedral of the forest, you know, is these monster trees that, you know, honestly, you can't find anywhere else, and I get that. You know, love and be loved in nature is a beautiful thing. So well done. Thank you for sharing, MJ.
Excellent. And got about 10 minutes left, so we can get a couple more poems in, I think. What do we want to do?
Yeah, no problem. We have one by Neil Mira, which I'd love to read if you don't mind. I would have hoped she was here to read it herself, because she reads so incredibly well. But just I'll do my best, Naomi, not to muck it up. Okay, In the Air. My knuckles crack and bleed against your rigid spine, curled tight as a hawk's gnawed claw. Our words evaporating into the infinite blue of a cloudless sky, sparse and drained. Silence shattering into shrapnel, slashing the air as the wings of a circling vulture. As I hear every moment I share with you, fading into a black speck on the horizon, feeling like I'm not enough.
Beautiful read, Weaver. And what did you think, Daniel?
Great from Naomi, as always. She really has a great way of, you know, expressing herself. She's a master of words, definitely. And Naomi, by the way, since I'm talking about where people are from, she's also from Canada, but she's up in Quebec. So out of everybody so far, I think the closest one to me is Naomi up in Quebec. It's only about 4 hours away. and I thought this was a very unique place. So she felt like the you know, she was or feeling like that distance of the hawk, right? You know, she's getting the feel of the picture. So, you know, she, you know, my knuckles cracked me against your rigid blind as a hawk's gnarled claw, which, you know, hawks are beautiful, but you look at those claws and they're dangerous, deadly weapons. Our words evaporating into the sky, shattering in silence. I hear every moment shared with you fading into the black horizon. It's just, you know, this is a dark and deep write, and really about the, you know, she's looking at that distance of the hawk as this distance with this person that she just can't connect with again. You know, and that, and feeling I'm not enough, you get like she's talking about a lover, a loved one. And, you know, that is you know, feeling that distance from somebody is definitely not a happy thing. It's something you don't want to do when you're close to somebody. She did a beautiful job as always. I thought it was really, really lovely. You know, a great place that she took this. I like the introspective nature that she took this to. So, excellent. Grace, your thoughts, please.
Yeah, you know, to me it's tragic, you know, when a relationship goes sideways. It's definitely hurt-hitting and impactful. You know, when a relationship goes sideways, it's hard, you know, as I hear every moment I shared with you fading into a black speck on the horizon, feeling like I'm not enough. You know, that just leaves you tragic, but wanting more, you know, because of the depth of the feelings that are there. So it was a great write and a great read, Weaver. And what did you think, Weaver?
Yes, reading it was actually very enjoyable. It was a lovely piece of poetry. I think, I don't know, it's just a knack with her, Naomi. She has this ability to pick you up in her warm arms, gently deposit you upon green, soft grass, and read you something that just blows your mind. And with so little effort involved, as far as you can see. I mean, we all know how much work goes into what she does and what people like her do, that it's not an easy job to make it look that easy. And I think it's very clever. She's a lovely lady, too, with a great sense of humor. And I do enjoy our times together when we do have a chance to natter. Yeah, well done, Naomi. I loved it. Thank you.
Yes, absolutely. Yep, all right. Let's keep going with life. Are we doing one by Zara again, or where do you want to go?
I don't know. Yep, give me something and I'll put it up. Let me just have a look. Where are we? What do we got? I've done it. Oh, there we are. I've done what I didn't expect to do. I've gone offline for some reason. Like, could somebody grab something, because I'm offline now.
Sure. I got one. Another one by Zara. Mm-hmm. We started with Zara, and we're doing Zara towards the end. So she's going to – we'll have time for probably one more at least, but you can kind of open and close this here. So let me post this, and we'll get on with things.
There we are.
I can't remember who was reading, so I'll read Zara's. Zara, again, is from Saudi Arabia, and this is called Sovereignty. This is a honorable mention from Zara. Vast, is it? How does it feel? How do you view the world, or us? I bet deep down you know how pathetic it is down here. The irony stems from the fact you were labeled as an endangered species, though you kept your true self. Where we here wallow in fascinating denial, nothing real but some, nothing free but a handful of privileged nitwits running the show. I would never land if I were you. I'd flail them wings till the end of days. But the ugliness down here is contagious. Stay up there, a symbol of absolute truth, ideolic for a few surviving souls that have escaped today's horrific mutation. End poem.
Hmm.
great read, Daniel. And what did you think, Weaver?
I thought it was lovely. It was a lot briefer than I expected it to be. I like that when you think, oh, it's finished. Nobody told me. I think it's very well done. Manager, again, it's somebody's crashing in the background.
That's me, sorry.
That's okay. No, it's just, that's okay. Luckily, I can blame you for the fact that I've got nothing else to say. Wonderful. I like it. Okay, yeah, so I thought it was wonderful, and I liked it very much. So thank you so much for sharing that with us. Boom.
Absolutely. Great comment, Weaver. Thank you. And, you know, I enjoyed it. Stay up there, a symbol of absolute truth, idolic, or a few surviving souls that escaped today's horrific mutation. You know, the world is such a horrifying place to exist in. When you can just soar above it in the sky, that's got to be a beautiful thing, you know. Stay up there and don't come down because, you know, you're not missing anything down here. It's just horror and strife. So I thought it was great, right? And fabulous read, Daniel. What did you think?
Yeah, I did. And, excuse me, you can really see her commitment to nature here. And, you know, she's talking to the bird, right? How do you view the world or us? And it does raise a lot of questions. This is the second one that we've had with her that has questions in it. And I think Zara seems like a very intelligent person and somebody who is, you know, always kind of trying to understand the world, which I think is great. You know, the irony stems to the fact that you're an endangered species, which I really enjoyed that. You know, when endangered species are looking down on us who, you know, endanger ourselves every day, right? Do we know if the humanity is going to survive at all? You know, we might be the ones that, you know, at the end are the ones that are gone. I like how she's just, you know, showing the beauty of the birds. And I just think about that a lot. You know, I have a lot of birds in my area. When I walk, I hear them all the time and I see them. And I always wonder what they think of us, you know, little creatures down there. And the hawks, you know, sitting up there, do they even care? Are we just a nuisance to them? They're just looking for their prey and what they think of. But stay up there as a symbol of absolute truth, you know, for the few surviving souls, meaning the people who can actually see, you know, nature, right, and can actually understand, the beauty of nature that haven't been lost. Where did she say this here? You know, where we wallow in fascinating denial, which is kind of true. You know, how much do we deny what we're doing to the planet and what our fate might be? You know, so I thought it was you know a dark right, but a truthful right, and yeah, I think Zara did an excellent job. And that should probably do it for us because we only have 2 minutes left. I don't think we should squeeze one in. I think that's actually the interesting bookend since we started with Zara for the first contest, and we'll end with Zara here. We have, I don't know, looking here real quick, maybe, you know, 7 or 8 ones that we didn't get to for this contest. And I'm not sure if it's going to be in 2 weeks or in a month from now because a lot of times we're switching back and forth for those listening. So if we didn't get to you, we're either going to do front page picks 2 weeks from now, or if we don't have any, we'll do these poems. Otherwise, we'll do these poems. The ones we didn't get to, we'll start off with the next time we do them, so either 2 weeks or a month from now, and then we'll have another contest going on. So definitely look for that. We'll have more contests. I'll put some more up. What a great show. Thanks for coming on, Weaver and Gray. You're the best as always. And again, thanks to Kendall Wild for being a friend of the show and letting us play her song. So I hope she watch for her. She's going to go on to do great things, and hope she has great luck on her tour. You want to take us out, Gray? It looks like it's time to go.
Absolutely. I'd just like to wish you both a wonderful night, and thank you guys for hanging out on the board, Scott, Robbie. Much appreciated. Have a great night and a great week, everyone.
Yeah,
good night. Thanks. It was great.
Good night, lads.
Good night.
Get some sleep,
take care, everybody.
Yeah. Love you guys.
I love you too. Goodbye,
yeah, you
my
too.
Guys.
Take care.
Bye.
Good night.